Welcome back for our fourth shiur, studying the sugyas of Chizkiyahu, fourth of four, focusing on the beginning of Chizkiyahu's life, what appears in Prakim Yudches and Yutes of Malachim, what appears in Prakim the parallel, Prakim Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin in Yeshayahu, the beginning of the stories of Chizkiyahu, which we, Mirtzah Shem, complete tonight, are those that focus on Chizkiyahu's interactions with Ashur. After tonight, Ashur will be done. So we'll move on to Mirtzah Hashem later in February to explore the later stories, the post-Ashur stories of Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu. There's much more to learn about. But tonight we complete sort of this trajectory of the interactions of Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu, the Jewish people, Yerushalayim on the one hand, and Sancheirev, emperor of Ashur, on the other hand. We left off last time, we began Perek Yates, we began Perek Lamed Zayin of Yeshayahu, and we left off in crisis. And the crisis was reaching ahead. Rav Shake had already been talking tough, and now Sancheirev was very threatening. The word had come to Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu had torn his clothes. So last time, he reaches out to Yeshayahu. Chizkiyahu had used a labor and delivery metaphor, or a labor but not delivery. That Geula is ready to be birthed, but the children, we're not ready to come to the table. We're in process, but it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. Bo banim ad mashber v'choach ein l'leida. Chizkiyahu is frightened. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to follow through with what Rav Shake is calling for, the destruction of Yerushalayim? Avdei Chizkiyahu come to Yeshayahu, and then they come again, as the Netziv pointed out. They come the first time. Apparently Yeshayahu had told them, I'm going to wait for Nevuah to come. I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu. I cannot elicit Nevuah. I cannot evoke Nevuah. You ask, well, I'll daven, and we'll see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds. He calls them back when HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds with a first brief nevuah, which we had seen last time. The brief nevuah was, you're going to see, Yerushalayim will be fine. Tu psukim, psukim vav and zayin, Yerushalayim will be fine. He's going to hear a mere shemua, that Sancheirev, he's going to hear a mere rumor of something, he's going to leave. And he'll be eliminated. And indeed, that had happened. Rav Shake goes back outside to find his king, Sancheirev, only to discover that Sancheirev, in the meanwhile, had headed off to Africa to engage militarily with Tarheka, the king of Akush. And as we had left off with last time, Kadosh Baruch Hu was even extended. There was crisis, there was fright. There was terrible chil Hashem in the way that Ashur was presenting themselves, and we're going to take down Klal Yisrael, we'll take down HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet there was not only do we hear an initial message of hope in Yeshayahu's first short nevuah, but there was even the opportunity of tshuva for Sancheirev himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads him away, and he could have stayed away, but he came back. And that's why we had left off the last time. Yigal Ariel pointed out in the initial nevuah, Yeshayahu had prophesied that Sancheirev will be killed. But in the initial nevuahs, Yeshayahu had not said anything about Sancheirev's army. But Sancheirev chose to come back. Unlike Yonah, Lahavdil, to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers a second opportunity, and he takes it and acts properly the second time, the very definition of Tshuva Gemura. Sancheirev, who was the result of the Nevuah of Yonah, Sancheirev is offered a second chance and fails. And fails so spectacularly that not only will he go down, but his army will go down as well. And so we pick up where we left off. In Pasuk Yud. And what's to come, if last time we left off at the sort of the height of crisis, over the next couple of minutes we're going to see how the rest of the story plays out, and we're going to see the positive second half of the parak. We're going to see Chizkiyahu's remarkable tefillah. It's an unusual tefillah, as we'll see. It's very not necessarily what you would expect. We're going to see in response the second, much longer, more effusive nevuah of Yeshayahu. And finally, we're going to see the geula that comes at the end. But before all of that, before the tefillah of Chizkiyahu, and before the second nevuah of Yeshayahu, and before the final geula at the end, which will raise fascinating questions and opportunity to look both past and future, we pick up near the top of, if you have the handout, the second page, Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes, Rav Shaki had gone back to find his king, Melech Ashur. Ashur, it turns out, has left. He's gone by Yishmael Tar Hekab, Melech Kush, and Pasuk Tes. He had followed the rumor that he ought to head to engage with Kush. And then at the end of Pasuk Tes, Vayashav, Vayishlach Malachim El Chizkiyo Lemor. And they turn around and send, the camp of Ashur sends another message to Chizkiyo. And what's that? Ko Somer El Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda. He says, here's what you're going to tell Chizkiyo, the angry message of Ashur, Ko Somer Ruin, but as the Malbim points out, although he's telling the messengers to tell it to Chizkiyo, apparently there was a letter sent as well. As we're going to see in Pasuk Yudalid, Chizkiyahu is going to receive not only an oral, verbal message, but Sfarim. He's going to receive something in writing as well. But we're again, the executive summary appears here in Psukim Yudalid, Yudbeis, Yudgimel, Yudalid. Al Yashiacha Elokecha Asher Ata Boteach Bo. Don't be fooled, they tell, the message goes to Chizkiyahu. Don't be fooled to rely on the God upon whom you rely. We've seen before that Bitachon was the hallmark of Chizkiyahu. You think Lotina saying Yerushalayim biyad Melech Ashur? You think Yerushalayim is not going to be handed over to Ashur? Nah, he says, look around. And Pasuk Yudalev, you know what we've done. You know the sort of exploits that we've had. You know the sort of enormous successes. Sancheyev had built a massive empire. And it's not just Sancheyriv. He was one in a line of a very powerful, very effective, militarily effective emperors of Ashur. Tiglath-Pileser and Sargon and others. He says, you know what we did to L'chol HaRetzos, all the surrounding countries. L'acharimah, we destroyed them. Atati Natzel, you think you're going to be saved? Why do you think you're any different? Ha'etzilu Osam, you rely on your God? So he says, we would say Lahavdi Alfe Avdalos in Pasuk Yudbeis, Haitzilu Osam Elohe Agoyim Eshashichasu Avosai. My forefathers destroyed, laid waste to so many countries. Did their God save them? Gozen and Haran, Retzef, Ben Eden? No. Ayom Melech Hamas, Melech Arpad. Where's the king of Hamas? Where's the king of Arpad? You know where they are? Heina v'ivad in the Pasuk Yudbeis. Heina, odd words. So Rishonim explained those are verbs. Heina milashen tenua, or na, shavana. There have been moved, we moved them. That's the reference, as we've seen, the mass migration that the Assyrians practiced. Ba'as ancheir v'bibalas kala umos. That's how they consolidated power. When they conquered a country, they would move them out to a different place. Heina v'iva. We made them move. And we destroyed. In what sense? Malbim thinks it means that not only did we move them out of their land, but we destroyed their borders. There was no remnant left of those political entities. They just became refugees. Some of the Rishonim suggest that Heina means we moved them, and Iva means we killed them. Think about it. If you think for a moment, unpack for a moment, what it means to move entire countries, mass migrations, it means death marches. We know what the Nazis did. You take whole countries and you make them, they weren't offering them trains. They weren't offering them planes. They're making them walk. How many, whoever survived, lived in the new location. Whoever didn't, it's Heinavi Iva. This is tough talk. This is the last message, by the way, of Ashur to Chizkiyahu. But Yikach Chizkiyahu, they're pulling all the stops. And Chizkiyahu takes the Svarim, again, in Pasuk Yudah was Koso Murun, but clearly it was both Baal Peh as well as Bechsav. He takes the Svarim, Yara Malachim, Yikraim, and he reads them. Fascinating. You know what he does with them? Vayal Beis Hashem, Vayifrseyu Chizkiyahu Lefnei Hashem. Chizkiyahu takes these scrolls he's received from the Assyrians and unrolls them, it sounds like in Beis HaMikdash, to present the Kadosh Baruch Hu, look at this. And here begins the Tefillah of Chizkiyahu. Later in the next parak, we'll come to Mitzvashem in Chodesh Shvat, we'll come to a later Tefillah of Chizkiyahu in a different part of his life. But this is the Tefillah of Chizkiyahu in response to Ashur. Hashem Elokei Yisrael and Pasuk Tezvav, Yoshev Akruvim, Atu Elokim Levadech, Chom Amachos Arutz, you're the only God for all of the nations. Ata Sisa Shashmayim Vesaretz. An obvious response to the blasphemous reference in Pasuk Yudbeis where Ashur was equating Hashem being the God of the Jewish people with all the other idolatrous gods of other nations. They didn't save them. Why do you think your God will save you? So Chizkiyahu responds to that kfir right away. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I believe in you are the Hashem Echad. You're the one and only God. Fascinating way to daven. It doesn't sound like a bakasha. Maybe it's like a shavach. He's just as we do every time we daven Shemoneh Esrei. He begins with shavach. I accept. It's almost like a smichas gul tefillah. We precede our Shemoneh Esrei with a shema. He opens with a restatement of Hashem Echad. Hatei Hashem Azdech Hoshma Pekach Enecho. Hey, look! Look at what Sancheirev said. Now it's interesting. You expect to hear that the bakash is, look at what Sancheirev wants to do to us. He wants to destroy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ana Hashem Oshiyana. But it's not Chizkiyahu's first focus. It's not save us from danger. He's look at what Sancheirev is saying. Shelacho l'charef Elokim chai. Look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sancheirev is such a chilul Hashem the way Sancheirev speaks of you. And he says, and then he goes on to say, look what they did to all the other nations. They destroyed so many other nations. And then the focus on they destroyed their gods. They destroyed their lowercase g gods. They destroyed their avodah zarah. Why? Because they're nothing. They're nothing. But you're the real deal. You are the authentic God of the universe. It's interesting. Doesn't sound like much of a bakasha. You're waiting to hear a cry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the most powerful, at the moment, the dominant power in the Middle East is massed at our gates. All the Eretz Yisrael, the Northern Kingdom, gone. Most of Malchus Yehuda, gone. Yerushalayim remains. We're in terrible danger. What sort of tefillah is Chizkiyahu offering? Not save us. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu. Chil Hashem. Look at the way he talked. Look at the way look at the way Sancheirev speaks of you. As though you're Eitzva Evan, but you're not.
Did he do that because he didn't think that the people were worthy?
Interesting.
That this was the only option?
Perhaps.
That we weren't at that point.
Lo lamanenu lamancha. That may be the case. So Alyssa was suggesting that it's essentially Chizkiyahu is davening, don't save us l'maneinu, save us l'mancha. It would be an even greater chil Hashem if indeed, and that's why he's stressing, all the other nations did go down and their avodah zarahs were destroyed, implying if we go down, forget about us. If we go down, so it looks like that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a similarly impotent deity. So don't save us l'maneinu, save us, and it's a theme that Moshe Rabbeinu had said before him, save us l'mancha. And so he closes Pasuk Yutes, the last Pasuk of this tefillah, which again began in Pasuk Tezvav and goes to Pasuk Yutes. At Hashem Elokeinu, Hoshienu na miyado. Finally, for the first time, he actually asks for a practical save us. But But again, here he makes it crystal clear. Save us, because that will make the uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu clear. And I'll take a question in a moment. But first, just take a look at the response, as I mentioned, the response at Tfilas. The response at Tfilas Chizkiyah is the longer second nevuah of Yeshayahu. The first nevuah had been that two pasuk, psukim vav and zayin, you'll be fine, he's going to disappear. Now comes in the response to the tefillah, a far longer, from pasuk chaf all the way until pasuk lamed dalet. Yishlach Yishayin, how is it introduced? Yishayahu ben Amot sends to Chizkiyah, Kol Hashem l'kei Yisrael, asher hispalalta elai. The God to you daven to me, which may perhaps mean not only that you had directed your tefillah, you had spoken your tefillah towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that the tefillah had been about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your tefillah was primarily focused not on the danger to the Jewish people, but had been primarily focused on Kavod Shamayim, Shamati. I heard your tefillah, and then we'll in a moment turn to look at some of what Yeshayahu says, and in promising the gula that's about to come, as well as the final three psukim of the parak, which actually speak of the gula. But before that, before we see Yeshayahu's response, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response, really, through the mouth of Yeshayahu, it's worth noticing and thinking about the tefillah of Chizkiyahu. Again, the primary theme certainly is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please avert the chilul Hashem that would ensue from our defeat. There is another more subtle angle here as well, which is the Malbim points out that there's a reference here back to, he argues, Yeshayahu Perek Yud. In case you have a Yeshayahu, you can take a look. If you do not have a Yeshayahu, worry not. If you happen to have a chum, if you don't have a Yeshayahu handy, but you do have a chumash handy, Yeshayahu Perek Yud. Yeshayahu, the end of Yeshayahu Perek Yud is a haftar, which we'll get to soon. The Malbim points out that the Yeshayahu Perek Yud begin with pasuk hey. Hoy Ashur Shevet Api. He speaks there. Yeshayahu is speaking there to Ashur. Shevet Apo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The staff of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger. That language should be familiar to us, either if we remember our Yeshayahu Perek Yud, or if we remember Chazal quoting it in the context of Yonah's hesitation to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to enable Ashur to be Shevet Apo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And indeed, ultimately, because of Yonah's successful nevuah, Nineveh, capital of Ashur, survives, grows to be the power, the world power, that destroys, lays waste to Malchus Yisrael and to much of Malchus Yehuda. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Yeshayahu Anavi, turns to Ashur in Perek Yud of Yeshayahu, you have been Shevet Api, however, he goes on to say, but there's a limit. There's a limit. He says, there'll come a point when the king will say that I think I'm the one who's really in charge. Ki amar bekoach yadi in pasuk perikid pasuk yud gimel. Bekoach yadi asisi. Uvachachmasiki nivunosi. When the Melech Ashur turns around and thinks that he's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tool for laying things the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to be, but rather that he's an independent power, when he will say, as we heard out of the mouth of Zechariah this past week in the Haftarah for Hanukkah, when he doesn't realize it's lo b'chaya v'lo b'koach, but rather the language of the Chumash, when he'll say, kochi ve'otzem yadi asli asachay lazeh, when he says that, the koach yadi asisi, then he's going to begin to go down. And Yeshayahu is such a magnificent metaphor. In Peri Kapo Psukim Leir, in Peri Gud Pasuk Tezvav, Hayispa'er ha-garzen al ha-chotzev bo, im yisgadel ha-mashor al-minifo, If you're a carpenter working with a saw, or working with a hammer, working with a screwdriver, does the drill, does the welding tool turn around to the welder and say, "Ah, look at me"? Does the paintbrush, is the paintbrush arrogant vis-a-vis the painter? Look what painting I made. That's absurd. You're a tool in the hand of the doer, reminiscent of the one of the slichas we say Leil Yom Kippur. So he says, but that's exactly that. Yeshayahu says to Malach Ashur, that's what you're doing. You think you're in charge. You're a Kadosh Baruch Hu's tool. You're a Kadosh Baruch Hu's vehicle. When you think that you're an independent power and then you can turn the tables on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you're going down. And then he goes on to say that that's going to be the beginning of the end of Ashur.
Did Yeshayahu make any divorce directly to the Malach Ashur?
This one was directed at Ashur. It's an open question. Does that mean that this was like sent as a letter to Ashur? Did Ashur actually receive it? Or Yeshayahu just said it to the Jewish people? And much of Yeshayahu and some of the other Nevi'im HaChorim also are speeches to both Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, speeches to other nations. It's an interesting question. Was the speeches about other nations? Or was it like an open letter that actually reached them? It's a good question. We'll come back in a little bit back to Perek Yud, because the end of Perek Yud, going into Perek Yud Aleph, is quite famous. It's famous as the Haftar of Achron Shel Pesach, and we'll see that we'll come back to its significance at the end of this parak. But for now, Malbim suggests that Chizkiyahu's tefillah is twofold. Number one, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have Rachmanis not on us, have Rachmanis on Kavod Shimcha. It would be such a horrible Chil Hashem. Look at the way Ashur speaks, and look how our defeat would be interpreted. It'll equate us to the rest of the nations, which really means it'll equate Rachmanis on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to all that vote is ours. Number one. Number two, the Malbim points out, Chizkiyahu was also making a subtler point, which is, it's not just Rav Shake anymore. Now it's Melech Ashur himself who's speaking with Chiruv V'Giduv. In the previous parak, we already heard Rav Shake speak terrible Chiruv V'Giduv. But now it's a message from the top. It's a message from Melech Ashur. That activates Perek Yud of Yeshayahu. Melech Ashur himself has lost track of the fact that he's a tool. He thinks he's in charge. That gives me confidence that what Yeshayahu prophesied in Perek Yud is about to occur. That this means that Ashur is about to go down. Yeah, you've been waiting so patiently. I'm sorry, Michael.
Could it also be that Hezekiah's tefillah emphasizing the Chilul Hashem is looking at Pasuk Vav? Is taking those words and saying, "Oh, I see now." It's like Hashem is giving me the speaking point. Is telling me it's the Megadi Hashem that's the part of the tefillah that I should be emphasizing.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You're right. In Yeshayahu's first nevuah, which is all of two psukim, the first pasuk was focusing on the Giduv. And I would add also, the first pasuk focused on the Giduv out of the mouth of Na'arei Melech Ashur, the kids. And then it's a put down to Rav Shake and his crew, bunch of kids. It's also the crew, it's the Narim of the Na'arim of Melech Ashur, not Melech Ashur himself. And that speaks to Chizkiyahu's point that subsequently, at the point of his tefillah, he's saying, but now I got this new message. It wasn't just Na'arei Melech Ashur. It was Melech Ashur himself. Rebbe Shalom, that's exactly what you had told us through Yeshayahu and Perek Yud. And the response, the magnificent and lengthy second nevuah of Yeshayahu, which, as we said, begins with Pasuk Chaf and flows all the way through Pasuk Lamed Daled. Let's take a look at some of the highlights. And then we'll see where it leads us. At the end of the parak, as Michir Cherafta in Pasuk Chavbeis, Vigidafta. Whom do you think you're being mecharef umegadev? Whom do you think you're blaspheming? El miari mosakal. You're taking me on. Which is the language of Chiruv V'Giduv. It's reminiscent of Goliath. I mentioned the other week that Rav Ariel explicitly, talks about the parallels between Rav Shake. On the one hand, in Goliath and perhaps Bilaam's attempts On the other hand, another famous Mecharef of Megadev, Golias, who soon afterwards went down. And then he goes on to say in Pasuk Chav Gimel, B'yad Malachecha Cheirafta Adonai. You were Mecharef me through your messengers. And what do you say? B'rov Rechbi Ani Alisi Marom. Fascinating. He says, I have such an enormous army, so many chariots. I'm going up to the skies. Rom Harim, Yarkasei Levana, I'm going up to the top of the mountains. I'm going to take on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's reminiscent of the psukim we learned last year about Nebuchadnezzar and Sefer Daniel. He thinks he's going to take on Ribono Shel Olam. It's almost reminiscent of Migdal Bavel. I'll go to the top of the mountain to take on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm so powerful. Ani Alisi. And as you'll remember, what happened to the Nebuchadnezzar? What happened to Nebuchadnezzar? What happened to Nebuchadnezzar is reminiscent of what happens here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes on to say, I know what you're up to. And where do you think you came from? Shivticha tseisecha bo'acha yadati. I know every aspect of your life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Sancheirav. I know what you've been trying to do. It says, Hizragezcha Eli, I'm fully aware of it. And it says, I heard what you said in Pasuk Chavches. Then listen to the metaphor from the mouth of Yishayahu. Samti chachi be'apecha u'mizgi b'svasecha. I'm going to put the nose piece in your nose and the bit across your lips. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to saddle you like a horse, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Sancheirav. That, I believe, is very reminiscent. You remember, in Sefer Daniel, we learned last year, that Nebuchadnezzar thinks he's emperor of the universe. He could take on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in response, you remember, he was punished by being reduced to being subhuman. He's reduced for a period of time to living like an animal in the wild. That imagery appears here as well. That seems like that's an appropriate and recurrent mida connected mida. The absolute power corrupts, and a king with enormous power begins to think that he's God. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says mida connected mida, almost like the Rambam is going to the other extreme. You're going to be reduced not just to being a person, all the way to the other extreme. You're going to be reduced to like an animal. And intriguingly, he says, Kalal Yisrael and Pasuk Lamed will survive. Yasva Pleitas Beis Yuda. You think you've destroyed the Jewish people? You have tragically laid waste to much of the Jewish people, but a kernel survives in Yerushalayim. And Pleitas Beis Yehuda Nishara. The remnants, the plate of the Jewish people, will be Shoresh Lamata V'Aser Pri Lamala. Will maintain a root down below in the ground and will once again give fruits above. It looks like you've destroyed us. But in fact, there's a root that you don't see, but a root from which we're going to regenerate. We're down to nothing. The whole Eretz Yisrael is reduced practically to a single city. But from that, as we see, thousands of years later, the Jewish people did regenerate. Ashur is gone. It's intriguing also, by the way, the metaphor for the downfall of Ashur is an animalistic metaphor. The metaphor for the survival of Jewish people is a plant metaphor, perhaps reminiscent of Chazal talk about the sun and the moon being the non-Jewish and the Jewish calendars. The fact that the Klal Yisrael Nimshul L'Yireach and the fact that our calendar is a lunar calendar, as opposed to so many of the non-Jewish calendars which are entirely solar, not all, but so many of them. And that captures the fact that Klal Yisrael appear to disappear, but we come back once again. So there's sort of like the sense that the less dominant looking image is sometimes the more powerful and the more lasting, and the one that's applied to the Jewish people. So in some perhaps somewhat parallel sense, in Pasuk Chavches, there's an animal metaphor used for Sancheirav and Ashur. In Pasuk Lamed, there's a plant metaphor that speaks about the humility, but the survival and the endurance of the Jewish people. Kim Yerushalayim teitzei she'eris u'pleita me'har tzion kinas Hashem tzvakos ta'asezos. We're going to survive. Klal Yisrael will regenerate from the core that remains in Yerushalayim. Then finally, the last three dramatic psukim. Ka'amar Hashem, Amalek Ashur. So here he says, executive summary, Yeshayahu says, here's the bottom line, Sancheiriv. Lo yavo ala irazos, lo yir shamcheitz. He will not enter this city. He will not even manage to get a single arrow over the walls. Nothing. No magen, no salalah. There will be no effective military action versus Yerushalayim. B'derech hashe yavo bo yashuv ala irazos lo yavo num Hashem. He'll return the way he came. He will not touch this town. V'gano si ala irazos lo hoshiya l'mani l'man David avdi. And I will, the closing pasuk of this nevuah, v'ganosi, m'lashen magen, I will protect, I will shield, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this city. For my sake, and that's a reference to what Chizkiyahu had said, Kvod Shamayim, as well as, here we see a new threat, u'laman David Avdi. It's about Kvod Shamayim, it's also about Malchus based David. Let's come back to that in a moment. But first, let's see the last three psukim. We hear about what actually happens. Indeed, Balayla Ha'u, which Chazal comment may well have been Leil Pesach. Vayetze Malach Hashem, Vayach B'machne Ashur, Meir Shmon of Chamisha Elef, well over 100,000 soldiers are killed miraculously. In the morning, they're all dead. Overnight, they're gone. Overnight, they're eliminated. In the morning, Yerushalayim is surrounded by corpses of soldiers. So Sancheiriv leaves, goes back to Ashur, he comes back, and his own sons kill him. His own sons kill him. This Neis, the destruction of Ashur, so I heard of this first, the following from Yehuda Landi, Talmud Chachma lives in Eretz Yisrael, a self-taught archaeologist. And then I was digging around some more. I see that the in the Atlas, Masad Rav Kook's Dat Mikra Atlas, I mentioned, I think referenced a couple weeks ago, they trace this back to an Assyriologist whose name is a Dr. Tadmor, who pointed out he was a Dr. Tadmor. Professor Tadmor was an expert in Assyrian royal annals. He pointed out that even in there is external archaeological support, reference to the Nais that appears here, and that is no other country was as honest as the Jewish people. No one else was as honest as us. We in the Tanakh, at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's behest, we record our failures and we record our warts. Other kings did not quite do that, but there was a limit to how much they could lie. So in one of the inscriptions, one of the annals that was uncovered, and here's a picture of it in cuneiform. So he talks about, Sancheiriv talks about victory after victory. He conquered this country, conquered that country, went here, went there, conquered this one, conquered that one. And then he said, they came to Yehuda, and I laid waste to X number of cities and even to Lachish. And I laid siege to Yerushalayim, and I had Chizkiyahu in my palm of my hand like a bird stuck in a cage. And so they wasn't going to say that he lost, but he didn't say Michlal Heina Toshamei Alav. He didn't say that he conquered Yerushalayim because he didn't conquer Yerushalayim. And Yehuda Landi points out if you go through the rest, beyond that it's all skirmishes. The powerful world conqueror is gone after this point. It may have taken time for him to ultimately be totally destroyed, as Tanakh describes. Ultimately he was, but he was immediately reduced to being a mere kid with mere skirmish. He's no longer Sancheiriv, the world conqueror. And this is the end of Ashur. Ashur's impact on Kalal Yisrael, and as I mentioned when we began this year, that's why the rest of the stories of Chizkiyahu, which are Parakhaf and Malachim Beis, or Prakim Malam and Cheslam Tes and Shayahu, that's the post-Ashur stories. Going forward, we will be hearing about the Mitzrayim and the Babel, but Ashur is after the destruction of Sancheiriv's army, miraculously, Ashur is done. But I want to close the last few minutes.
So what happens? So Sancheiriv was was we were bad, we didn't deserve it, and then Sancheiru was like boasting the house against rid of him, and because of what? Like, we didn't do tshuva.
Because of what? So here we come back, thank you for the segue, here we come back to the last line, excuse me, of Yeshayahu's second nevuah, which I said we would come back to. Viganosi el irazos, I'm going to protect the city. Lohoshia. Why? L'ma'ani, l'ma'an David Avdi. For my sake, quote Shem, that to respond to the terrible chil Hashem that a destruction of Yishalayim would have meant, the apparent equation of Kadosh Baruch Hu to the Avodah Zarah of all the other nations that had indeed been conquered by Ashur. L'ma'an David Avdi. And also for the sake of David HaMelech. What does that mean? So what that means is the following. What that means is that Gemara tells us in the last parak of Sanhedrin, parak Chelek, Daf Tzadi Dalad, the Gemara says that Chizkiyahu HaMelech could have been Mashiach. Sancheirav could have been Gog and Magog. This could have been the Gog and Magog is the nevuah of Yecheskel with Leyan Shabbos Chol Moed. He prophesies about the final battle over the status of Yerushalayim. Well, who really owns Yerushalayim? That's going to be the final battle that will presage, that will be the prelude to the coming of Mashiach. The Gemara says this could have been it. This was a battle over Yerushalayim. Sancheir wanted to destroy Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects. Chizkiyahu is from Malchus Beis David. He could have been Mashiach. But we were in Zochah. What? How? Where does this come from? How do we know it could have been, and why not? So the Gemara points to a pasuk. If you have your Yeshayahu, turn back a page to the end of Parak, to begin of Parak Tes. If you have a Chumash with Haftaras, you can look at the end of the Haftara of Yisro. Ki yelad yulad lano, bei nitan lano. Lemar talks about a child. From Malchus Beis David, perhaps a reference to Chizkiyahu, perhaps a reference to Melech HaMashiach. L'marbe HaMisra u'l'shalom in Kates. L'marbe HaMisra is the mem there is a mem sophis, an endomem in the middle of the word. So Rabbi Tanchum quotes Bar Kapara, Sanhedrin Tzadidalad, he says, you don't find that anywhere else. A mem sophis in the middle of a word, what's that all about? The closed mem? Yeah, because Chizkiyahu could have been Melech HaMashiach, but his mouth was closed. He should have responded to this Yeshua with a tremendous Shira, with tremendous Halal. Kadosh Baruch Hu saved the Jewish people miraculously, you respond with Halal. He didn't, so it wasn't the Geula that it could have been. It was an incredible Geula, but this didn't become the ultimate Geula Asidi. He could have been Mashiach if only he would have responded properly. That says a lot about the need for us to notice Yad Hashem, particularly when He saves us, and to respond effusively. Certainly, as we step away from one of the great times that during the year of Halal, Hanukkah, this is something to take with us.
It also says the Ganosi El Ha'ir, not Aleicha, like Hashem.
Protect the city. Yeah. Yeah. So the fact that it's to save for David this city, for David HaMelech, we're hearing echoes of something much larger than just Chizkiyahu. We're hearing echoes of Malchus Beis David has to persist all the way till Melech HaMashiach. And the truth is that where we had begun in Yeshayahu, Pasuk Yud, Hoy Ashur Shevet Api, where he says Sancheir is going to go down once he claims to be independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said it before, if you keep going, he said, oh, you think the tool thinks that he's the artist? You keep going, the very end of Pasuk Yud is the Haftar of Achram Shal Pesach. Od Hayom B'Nov La'amod Pas Perik Yud Aleph Yatza Chote Megeza Yishai V'Netza Mishar Hashav Yifreh. You hear about, you go from the Nevuah about the downfall of Ashur to the Nevuah about the rise of Mashiach, which again captures that one could have led straight to the next. And the Malbim wants to know at the beginning of Parakeet Aleph, and with this we close. What does it mean? Chizkiyo could have been Mashiach, but why dafik Chizkiyo? What is it supposed to mean? And why a pasuk that's so close to our hearts in this haftarah? V'yatza choter migeza yishai v'netzim mishar shav yifreh. A new sprout from the trunk of Yishai, a new sprout from the roots. What's that? What are the two metaphors about? So he says that the Gemara comments based on, and Gemara comments a few blot later, Daf Tzadiches, based on Psukim later in Yishayahu, the end of the Haftar of Kisavo, Perek Samach of Yishayahu, that Be'ita Achishana, that there are the two routes for how Mashiach could come. Mashiach could arrive on time at the final kates, if we don't earn him, or Mashiach could come sooner, as soon as it could come in ahead of schedule, as soon as we're Zocha. If we're Zocha, he'll come as soon as we're Zocha. Otherwise, Mashiach will come despite us. What was the earliest time Mashiach could have come? As soon as the Jewish people went into Galus, which had just happened. This is the first time since the Jewish people came to Eretz Yisrael that they had gone to Galus in large numbers. Ashur had taken away the Aseres HaShvatim, and now a good chunk of Malchus Yehuda as well. This first Yeshua could have been, it was the first opportunity for Geula Shalema. Mashiach could come as soon as we earn him, starting with the first moment, starting with Chizkiyo. That was the first opportunity for a Zachu Achishana. And that's why Yishayahu says, the Malbim, you can either be a sprout coming straight out of a geza, a stump of a trunk, or else a nature growing out of roots. Because if Chizkiyahu, if they would have been Zoche, at the very first moment, there would have been straight continuity of Malchus Beis David. It would have been like you cut down the tree, but the stump remains, and sprouts are going, chotrim are going straight out of the trunk. It would have been Malchus Beis David, uninterruptedly, naturally growing, just taking the next step into full Melech Mashiach. But instead, lo zachinu, and it will yet sprout again, but it's going to be sprouting not out of an existing visible trunk, but instead out of invisible roots. Neitzim Yishar Shav Yifrei. Ultimately, Mashiach will come, but there's going to be a period of dormancy of Malchus Beis David. The stump will be gone, the trunk will be gone, but as Yishayahu had said here as well, he said it looks to Ashur like Klal Yisrael is gone, but the roots remain. The roots remain, and if Mashiach didn't come at the first moment, it wasn't Chizkiyahu Lo Zachu. And that has been the case, no doubt, many, many, many times throughout Jewish history. As soon as we would be Zoche, Mashiach would come. For many thousands of years, we have not been Zoche. And then, lo zachu, b'ita. But Mashiach will come regardless. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will has a plan. Mashiach needs to come. Olam HaZeh needs to reach its perfected state. Malchus Beis David stopped for a long time, had laid dormant for a long time, but was latent. And the roots remain the ground invisibly, and in our time we begin to see the netzer growing once again from the roots that had been invisible. That's v'ganosi al irazos kvod shamayim, and the continuity that Kadosh Baruch Hu had promised to Malchus Beis David. This concludes the crisis and the geula of Chizkiyahu Yishayahu's showdown with Malchus Ashur. And Mirtz Hashem, we'll pick up next time, in around a month, we'll pick up with the next leg in our journey with Chizkiyahu to explore the post-Ashur stories, the personal stories of Chizkiyahu, and his later political struggles as well. Thank you so, so much.